praise to praise.
On the
tree of sorrow, Jesus died for all. Took upon himself our wrongs. As I see him there, I long to ever live in the shadow of the cross. Are you living in the shadow of the cross, where the Savior took your place? You lead us to that home above. There we'll see him face to face. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. On the sea of life they toss. May we be a light and teach them how to live. Shadow of the cross. Listen. Are you living in the shadow of the cross, where the Savior took your place? By the cross you lead us to that home above. There we'll see him face to face. Amen. Yeah, that's when the category of a spiritual song. I don't know how many times that at work. Melody, that song would come to me, even though I couldn't remember the words to it. I could remember the melody and oh, how it ministered to me as I stumbled for the words in the shadow of the cross. Appreciate it. Appreciate the good singing. Amen. You got some? Well, I'll do it, brother. You only get one opportunity to honor that blessed name. It's above every name. The Bible said, what shall we do for the Lord? Do with all your heart and all your mind. Honor him, brother.
A good friend brought me this song. I've tried it here a time or two, and I usually mess it up. It's a good song.
Bless you, man.
I stood on the banks of a wide, raging river, trusting that I'd get across. I've made my way through some valleys and deserts, believing I'd never get lost.
Yeah.
I've stood at the foot what seemed like Mount Everest, knowing I'd have the strength for the climb. It's through every trial, each test and temptation, there's one thing that's sure every time.
Thank you, man.
Over and over again and again, God is faithful. Over and over again, and again through it all, he makes me able to stand and survive, to come through alive. But it sure looks like I couldn't. Jesus is with me, so I'll claim the victory over and over again. You may ask me why I have no hesitation. God does what he says he will do. Why, I simply say every trial has taught me there's nothing he won't help me through. So why should I dwell on the hardships and struggles when I look just beyond them I see? Oh, the way this will end is with great celebration, and deep in my heart I believe. again, God is faithful. It's over and over again, and again through it all. He makes me able to stand and survive, to come through a life that sure looked like I couldn't win. Now Jesus is with me,
heaven.
So I'll claim the victory.
Yes, Lord,
over and over again. I'll stand and survive. I'll come through life when it sure looks like I couldn't win.
Woo!
Well, Jesus is with me, so I'll claim.
Sing the White House, please.
You asked me to.
You would. I appreciate it. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
There's a lighthouse on a hilltop that overlooks life's sea. The storms, they say, sends out a light, that I might see. And the light that shines in darkest night will safely lead me on. If it wasn't for that lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shown His light around me, that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Now everybody that lives around me, they say tear the lighthouse down. You know the big ships don't pass this way anymore. There's no need of it standing round. But then my mind goes back to the stormy night, and just in time I saw the light. Yes, the light from that old lighthouse, it still shines upon the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shown His light around me, that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would the ship be?
Appreciate that song. I've seen a lot of songs that have been passed around on service, and I may not be privy to it, but if anybody's got a song on your heart, I certainly would be willing to give place to that. If anybody's got a song that you want to sing, we'd certainly like to give place to that. And would that be possible, brother? I want to sing. Yeah, let's talk about a. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I didn't get that right. What about you, Linda? You want to sing? All right. We certainly wanted to welcome that, and good to have a.
This little 8-year-old boy in California, his teacher asked him to give explanation about God and wanted to write an essay about it, you know. Boy, I thought you did real well. If you think you have time, I can read it to you. That hurt brother preacher, someone sent him the message, you know, the essay.
All right. Yeah, I'll do it. You want to read it, Margaret?
It was written by an 8-year old. Are you 8? Well, how old are you?
9 and a half. Close enough.
Taller than you then. And he lived in California and he wrote it for his third grade homework assignment to explain God. I wonder if any of us could have done as well. That's what my brother wrote. And he had such an assignment in California, and someone published it. I guess miracles do still happen that he got this published. Explanation of God. These kids need to listen to this.
Amen.
One of God's main jobs is making people. He makes them to replace the ones that die, so there will be enough people to take care of things on earth. He doesn't make grown-ups, just babies. I think because they are smaller and easier to make. That way he doesn't have to take up his valuable time teaching them to talk and walk. He can just leave that to mothers and fathers. God's second most important job is listening to prayers. An awful lot of this goes on, since some people, like preachers and things, pray at all time, not just at bedtime. God doesn't have to listen to the radio or TV because of this, because he hears everything.
That's right.
And there must be a terrible lot of noise in his ears, unless he has thought of a way to turn it off. God sees everything and hears everything and is everywhere, which keeps him pretty busy. So you shouldn't go wasting his time by going over, this is what kids need to hear, you shouldn't go wasting your time by going over your mom and dad's head asking for something they said you couldn't have.
Well, listen up.
There are people who don't believe in God. I don't think there are any in California. At least there aren't any who come to our church. Jesus is God's son. He used to do all the hard work, like walking on water and performing miracles,
Amen.
Trying to teach the people who didn't want to learn about God. They finally got tired of him preaching to them, and they crucified him. But he was good and kind like his father, and he told his father that they didn't know what they were doing and to forgive them. And God said, okay. His dad, God, appreciated everything that he has done and all his hard work on earth. So he told him he didn't have to go out on the road anymore. He could stay in heaven. So he did. And now he helps his dad out by listening to prayers and seeing things which are important for God to take care of them, which he can take care of himself without having to bother God. You can pray anytime you want, and they are sure to help you because they got it worked out. So one of them is on duty all the time. You should always go to church on Sunday because it makes God happy. And if there is anybody you want to make happy, it's God.
Amen.
Don't skip church to do something you think will be more fun, like going to the beach. This is wrong. And besides, the sun doesn't come out at the beach until noon anyway. If you don't believe in God, besides being an atheist, you will be very lonely. Because your parents can't go everywhere with you like they can, but God can.
Amen.
It's good to know he is around you when you're scared in the dark, or when you can't swim and you get thrown into real deep water by big kids. But you shouldn't just always think of what God can do for you. I figure God put me here and he can take me back anytime he pleases. And that's why I believe in God.
Amen. 8-year-old boy wrote that. 8-year-old boy, top that. I used to say that God didn't hear the prayers of sinners, and I had to be corrected by the Word of God. Just in lieu of what Sister Margaret just read there, Acts chapter 10, I'm not going to be preaching here, I'm just sharing this with you. But in Acts chapter number 10, verse 41, the angel showed up there at Cornelius' house, and he said, Cornelius, thy prayers heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. And I stood corrected. Because who am I to withstand God if he wants to hear the prayers of lost people? I find myself at a terrible loss to speak against that. But I'm glad a little 8-year-old boy knows more about God than most 80-year-old men do. And he, by his letter there, let me know he knew quite a bit about God.
Yeah.
Psalm 144, verse 15 says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And I'll tell you right now, one reason a lot of people aren't happy, they got too much of the world, not enough of God. We'll be reading this morning out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I thought it kind of strange last night. My pastor at prayer meeting last night also read from this same scripture. Lord, I already stirred my heart in this direction several weeks ago for this day. And I'm just a messenger boy. I done said that. I don't meddle with the things of God. I've messed enough up. I just try to say what the Lord says, do what the Lord says. But my pastor read this entire chapter pretty much last night. And with that in mind, I'll probably read even more than I intended to read this morning, which I was only going to read about 3 verses. But I would like to read more than that this morning. I know the times we've sprung ahead, lost an hour and all that. But I would like to read more than what I intended to read this morning. Some people don't spend a lot of time in the Word of God. And God's Word won't return void. It will prosper the thing it's sent to do. I'd like to get as much exposure to you, to the Word of God today as I can. So I'll be reading several verses here. If you've got a King James Bible, you can follow along with me. And we won't alter the confusion unless I misquote it. But also, if you follow along with me, you'll get a double portion. You'll get it through your eye gate and through your ear gate. You'll get it twice. But Paul here writing to the church in Thessalonica, starting in verse 1, Paul says, "But in the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now I know we all woke up this morning. We're not at the funeral home. Someone's not picking a casket out for us. But some people didn't wake up this morning. And this day, God's given it to us. Let's see what we do with it. But the day of the Lord is going to come also. And in that day, the church is leaving. And the world is going to be at a terrible loss. Because we're the light. There's going to be great darkness come upon the world like it's never been. But anyway, he said the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren are not in darkness, and I'm glad I'm not. I spent some time there. That day should overtake you as a thief. A lot of people don't understand the coming of the Lord. They've got it all messed up. All mixed up, messed up. But I'm glad we've got Scripture. The Bible said it's given for instruction, for reproof, for rebuke and exhortation. And I'm glad I have the Word of God. But the Bible said we're not in darkness. The entrance of His Word gives light. That that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very high in love for their work's sake. Let me read that again. I read it incorrectly. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Sorry about that. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. My pastor stopped right there. I'd like to read a few more verses and then we'll preach. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying, Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. We'll stop our reading right there. And I'll go to God in prayer. And the priest pray with me and for me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. Lord, I find myself, like all men, at a terrible loss. And I need your help. And I pray, dear Father, Lord, that you would anoint me from on high, anoint me afresh. Lord, I pray, Father, you would take command of this tongue. And Lord, let it, I pray, be like the pen of a ready writer. May it not go beyond that which you'd have to be said. May it not wag and may it not wander. I pray, dear Father, Lord, you would help it, Lord, to be precise to the planting of the seeds of the Word of God. And Lord, help it, Lord, also to be used to water seeds that have been planted. Lord, may you minister in our midst. May you, I pray, be exalted. May you be lifted up so you can draw all to you. Lord, bless, I pray today, those that are saved. Those here, Father, today that don't know you personally as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray you would personally, Lord, go to them. And Lord, I pray you'd draw them with cords of love to yourself, that they can leave this service today and say, I'm glad I come. I'm in the family of God now. My name's in the book of God, the book of life. My sins are in the blood of Jesus. And they can leave today knowing it's well with their soul. Those that leave this service lost, I pray the compassionate mercy and grace of God upon those that leave this service lost today. Lord, I begged my son this morning to go to church and he said, thanks for the warning. Lord, that's all I can do is warn people. I couldn't keep him from going fishing today like I used to do 25 years ago. But Lord, all we can do is warn. That's all we can do is welcome people to the house of God and warn them about abstaining from the house of God. But I thank you, Father, for those that are here this morning. And again, yield myself to you. I ask you, Lord, to preach to me and through me. Lord, it wouldn't bother me a bit. If you preached me on the altar, I'll go. You, I pray, have dominion over my heart and over my words. May you have the preeminence. And I'll thank you and praise you. And as carefully as I can, ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse number 3, Paul here said, and when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It is a great salvation, none greater than Jesus. He came down and gave his life a ransom so that we could go up. And it is a great salvation. He went to great suffering, great lengths to bring it to us. It's called an unspeakable gift. Paul said that he was the chiefest of sinners. He said, I obtained mercy. You know how he obtained mercy? Because he went to the one that's got the mercy. David said, don't let me fall into the hand of man. Let me fall in the hand of God. For His mercies are great. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, there's a reason you're here this morning. God wants to know you. He wants to know you personally. He wants to set you free from all your bondage and all your sin, all your burdens. And He's the only one that can. You go ahead and go to the self-helps. Help yourself. I'm glad I went to the one-step program, Brother Vernon. I still remember April 27, 1988, when I kneeled down trembling in my soul, wondering if God could forgive an old wretched son like Eddie Wade of all the things that I had done. And I found Him more than able to save me from my sins, more than able to put as far as the east is from the west my transgressions, never to remember no more against me. I've even tried to work it out. I can't even do it. I'm glad He so far hid my transgressions, cast them in the depths of the sea. I'll tell you what, never a man spake like that man. And He spoke to me that day and He said, go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. And even though the world has told me something otherwise, I want you to know, glory to God, it's still well with my soul. Hallelujah. Man, I'll tell you what, you find that, you found something worth finding. Amen. But I'm preaching today on sudden destruction. 4-year-old boy found his father's gun out of here. Two boys up here in Columbia about 3 weeks ago. One of them pulled a gun out, and even though accidentally shot his brother and couldn't live, shot himself because it was more than he could bear. A couple going to a hospital to deliver a baby. Car hit them, killed them both. Took the baby by cesarean. We all prayed. My daughter called me. Daddy, pray for that baby. That it'll live. It did. Went straight into the presence of God. You know how to miss heaven? I'll tell you how to miss heaven. Those weren't 10 suggestions back there. They're 10 commandments. And the Bible said, the knowledge of sin come by the law. Paul said, I had not known sin, but by the law, for the law said, thou shalt not covet. And he said, the day that I knew I was doing wrong, I became accountable for my sin. Amen. And I'll tell you one thing. Those 10 commandments are good things. We need them. We need them more so. I thank God I even have one in the church. I'm glad I got them in my heart. And the Bible said the Gentiles have not the law, have it written in the heart. Even as a young boy, I remember I was doing wrong. But when I knew I was doing wrong, I went ahead and did it, Brother Bob, I became accountable for that wrong. And if you're here this morning and you're guilty, I just want you to know there's only one that can help you. He's able to save the uttermost from the guttermost. All that come to Him, He said, I'll in no wise turn you away. I'll tell you right now, boy, the nail-pierced hands of Jesus will welcome you right now. A woman come to service, she says, there ain't hope for me. Preacher got up and preached Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now. That's God's invitation, come now. Saith the Lord, not just come, but He said, come now. Say the Lord, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. He's got the cure, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, I didn't have to go no further than Jesus, learning. Amen. Man, my mama called me a fanatic, and rightly so, I still am. I don't know how in the world anybody could ever get over something like that, but I promise you this, I've not even come close to getting over. If anybody, I'm probably more fanatical than I've ever been in my life. Amen. It just kind of grows on you. I mean, hallelujah. When something big as God moves in, it'll show up somewhere. And the psalmist said, Psalm 55, he said, you had no changes. He said, therefore they fear not God. It changed me. I had a strange makeover. I lost all my friends. God gave me better ones. I lost some habits, but I got better ones. Hallelujah. A new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Any man be in Christ Jesus. New creature. You get saved, it'll show up. It'll show up. You can't. I don't know how in the world you hide something big as God, but I promise you this, it'll show up. Man went to sleep in his bedroom February the 28th at 11 p.m. His name was Jeffrey Bush. That ought to be pretty safe. Brother Howard, he fell his head that night. Anthony, the earth opened up and swallowed that young boy, and he's never been seen since. You think peace and safety. I mean, I'm in my bedroom. I'm in Tampa, Florida, good grief. I mean, the best place to live. And the earth opened up and swallowed him up. His brother dived in after him and had to drag him out kicking and screaming. It happens. It happens. It's going on right now. Somebody right now is fighting for a breath of life. Somebody's right now wondering, does anybody care? Yes, Jesus does. He cares. Hallelujah. How much does Jesus care, Brother Eddie? He cares this much. He cares. Amen. I don't know the spiritual standing of that young boy, but I'll tell you one thing. It could have been well with his soul if it wasn't. Six people killed in an SUV on Highway 165 Saturday a week ago. I-65, thank you, Brother Melvin. 15 miles from where 10 Mennonites were also killed on their way to a wedding. Peace and safety. Sudden destruction. I've come up on wrecks before, Brother Vernon. And my ears tingled just a little bit. And I noticed I slowed down just a little bit. I noticed there for just a while, I wasn't trying to pass people. I was trying to be careful. As the car was upside down, the wheels were still rolling. I drove like I was supposed to, and it wasn't too far. Boy, I started back up again, and I'm gone. Old Broadman said, his wife said, Noah, you do pretty good till you get behind the wheel of a car. And I'm just like little Noah. I had to say amen, amen. I mean, but I don't know what it was about. If I put that foot down there, and for some reason I think I've got the right of way. Every time a young person gets ready to learn how to drive, Brother Melvin, I worry. I go down on my knees. I pray for my granddaughter, Lord. Lord, go before and protect her. Be the shield that you promised Abraham. Keith brought his granddaughter and his great-granddaughter to the house of the Lord. That tells me, boy, you really care. I commend you highly, buddy. I'll tell you right now. I'm glad, praise God, we haven't got so heathenistic that we don't care. Now, I've got a long ways to go in this message. Bear with me. I'm spinning my wheels right now. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, it's a very timely message. The Bible said, he that been often reproved in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1, said he hardened his neck. Now what that means is, you say, well, I talked to my son this morning, 25 years ago, Vernon, it was him talking to me. He's getting ready to go fishing. That's what I did 25 years ago on the Lord's Day. John didn't say I was fishing on the Lord's Day. He said I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Couldn't even be in church, Brother Vernon. Do you know what? He said, even though I can't be in church, I can have church right here. You know what? Jesus showed up. He said he heard behind him a voice. Tell you what, I don't know what they're going to do with 80 weight. I'll tell you one thing, though. They're going to find me in the house of the Lord. They're going to find me standing for the Word of God. They're going to find me having done all standing there with. I am steadfast. I'll tell you that. I have to admit, it's not. There is some disheartens. There is some challenges. There are some sad moments, some challenges, some tribulations, some ripples, white water, rapids, and all that stuff. But I'll promise you this, the toils of the road will seem as nothing when we finally finish our journey and finish our course like Paul said, and we'll go home. Amen. Oh me, I reasoned with him, and his neck had got hard. There was a time I could talk to my son and he'd turn and listen. But that old neck done got hard. He said, thanks for the warning, sarcastically. He's my son. But if God takes him today, I'll tell you right now, God's just in everything He does. Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, shall we not receive good at the hand of the Lord? Shall we not receive also evil? I'm telling you, never charge God foolishly. And boy knows better. But he, with millions of others, hardened that neck. Used to be Brother Barney, they'd turn. And they'd at least give you a glance or listen. But now they just walk on. He that been often reproved, hardened his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy, that means the doctors are of no value. That means the medicine. That means the surgical procedures. That means the doctors say we've done everything we know to do. And there's nothing else we can do. And a woman one time said, oh my God, what are we going to do? And the doctor said, the only thing I know that we can do is pray. She said, has it come to that? It shouldn't have went that far. That son, even though he's my son, he belongs to God. God will have to take care of that. I'll tell you one thing, buddy. Appreciate charity. Last Sunday, let me stand corrected here. Man, my mind must be really messed up. Two Sundays ago, charity. Here on a Sunday morning, heard me preach a message on the sorrows of hell. And she listened to the point. When she left the service that morning, she said, Brother Eddie, I'm going to call all my friends and do my best to get them to come tonight. And by her help and by the help of that band, we brought 8 souls to the house of God two Sundays ago. We didn't have no service last Sunday night. I'm getting tired of dismissing service thinking that the weather's going to be bad and it shows up. We could have had it. I'm sorry about that. I don't know if I get hurt for sure, but I certainly hate it when I dismiss a service and we could have had it. But I appreciate charity having a burden for our friends, and she called them and they came and it was a blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. This week, Hugo Chavez. Hugo Chavez, that's the president or dictator of Venezuela. By the words, his last words of this macho, this communist, socialist, dictator rule with a fist. His last words, Brother Vernon, was, "Someone please help me. I don't want to die." I only know one that can't help. He won't call upon that name, so I guess he just said his house is going to be desolate. That's all I know. I only know one that you can call upon. And the Bible says in Psalm 46, verse 1, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." You go ahead and run your roads. You go ahead and call your doctors. You can call your 911s. I'm going to call G-O-D. Amen. You go ahead. I'll tell you right now where I'm going. I'm going to run straight to Jesus and say, "Lord, is everything all right between me and you? Is this your will for this to be?" But anyway, his last words brought forth quite a congregation. The Jesse Jacksons, the Sean Penns, Fidel Castro, I can't even say this guy's name, the president of Iran, I'm out of Virginia, Dodd, something like that. Two U.S. senators and a former president, Jimmy Carter, or do a little arithmetic here. Some filmmakers, Oliver Stone, Danny Glover, Roseanne Barr, Michael Moore. Well, let me say this about that. God has no pleasure in death of the wicked. So don't make no mistake right here. Even though God's angry at the wicked every day, He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't make God glad when you go to hell. I'm going to tell you right now, He wept over Jerusalem. He said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and them that are sent unto thee, how long that you come to me? I have gathered your children as a hen doth her chicks." But you would not. He said, "Therefore your house is left unto you desolate." And I'll tell you, buddy, God has no pleasure in death of the wicked. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23 and verse number 32. I'll tell you, buddy, sudden destruction. That couple on their way to the hospital to give birth to that baby, they wasn't expecting to die, Brother Anthony. Yet death came. Somebody right now out there, right now, guarantee you, somebody's on the side of the road right now, breathing their last breaths. Heart beating fainter and fainter. Someone on the floor right now holding their chest. Someone saying, "Call 911. Sudden destruction. It comes. Comes upon all. The only ones I know it don't come upon is those that, praise God, have got their soul in the hands of one like Him. Amen. Boy, I'm fixing to take a turn in this message, and I hope y'all can bear with me because it's pretty rough. The Bible says in Luke chapter 21, verse 11, talks about fearful sights. Talks about verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear. Now, I just want to be honest with you this morning. It's not going to get better. I want to tell you this morning, it's going to get worse. And worse. Unto the end. How old are you, Levi?
9 and a half.
I don't know how old Luke is, but I remember one time I was preaching over here, and I asked Luke, I said, "Luke, you get bullied at school?" He said, "Every day, Brother Eddie." That don't sound too bad, does it? Bullying. We had a little bit of bullying when we was in school, didn't we, Brother Vernon? 12-year-old boy succumbed to the beating of some older boys. He was immediately put into a coma, and he didn't come out, Bobby. His parents left to grieve over that young boy. Of course, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Wicked just kind of creeps in. I've often heard you can put a frog in a pond, in a pan, and as long as you turn the temperature up real slow, that he'd stay in there and let you cook him. But if you put him in there and the water's hot, he'll jump out. Well, let me back up just a little bit. Back to the days of Madam O'Hare's and stuff. Back, you know, when God could still bless our children, our schools and stuff. Since things have all turned around, you know, we've kind of jumped out of some things and into some things. This bullying has gone this far. I hope I can use plainness of speech here and not offend no one. But parents want their young boys now to go to the girls' restroom. And the reason for that is they know if their young boys go to the boys' restroom that there's some big goons in there. They're taking this bullying far enough that I want to go in there myself and stop it. They're telling young boys that if they don't do oral, you know what, that they're going to beat them up. I'd rather die at the age of 12 years old. But how did it get there? You tell me that. How did it go that far? How in America did it stoop that low that little boys are afraid to go to the restroom? Now that's just not right. You know how it got there? We've got to be tolerant, man. We've got to learn to compromise. Man, it takes a village to raise family. I mean, Ted, the Bible says that the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? I guarantee you what you do. You wait till Jesus comes. I wish we could have learned to put the armor on. I wish we could have learned to roll up our sleeves and said no. My grandfather, I'll tell you one thing, boy, he may have cooked moonshine when he was young, but I'll tell you this, he would have loaded that shotgun up and he'd headed up there. They might have killed him, but I'll tell you right now, he would stand up for wrong, or for right, and not condone wrong. Edgar Gunnels, my grandfather, all them days are all gone. We're all asleep. We just let it happen. We read about it after the fact, aftermath, and we say, boy, I hate that little 12-year-old boy got beat up because he was not going to partake in those matters that they want to. Well, they done bragged about it. They done said we're going to take care of young boys in the restrooms and in the showers and locker rooms and stuff. I mean, they pretty much told us. Well, we just let it happen, I reckon. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. I wish their pulpits would fire up just a little bit. I wish we had more thundering out against sin and a less, I guess, tickling of the ears. But that's just not right. That little 12-year-old boy was beat unconscious and died because he couldn't go to school safely. For what it's worth, Iran is right now developing enriched uranium for peaceful purposes. That's where we're at. North Korea would like to fire a missile off, and they may figure out how to do it. I don't know if they'd like to. Sudden destruction. Not all they can do to me, Brother Vernon, is just threaten me with heaven. I pillowed my head one night, and I thought, man, the worst thing happened to me, I just wake up in heaven. I mean, how do you threaten someone with heaven? Hallelujah, that's where I want to be anyway. Amen. Paul said, I die daily. He said, I refuse not to die. I'm ready to die. Glory to God. If you're ready to die, you can live, amen. If you're not ready to die, you ought to get saved. Amen. Then there won't be no threat. Then there won't be no worry. You won't have panic attacks. You won't have to take things so you can sleep. Follow me. Those twin towers fell and the Pentagon was attacked for just a brief moment. Just that far, America woke up. They said they had traffic jams, people trying to get to church. What's going on? Is this the last days? By the way, they've come out with a series now trying to bring the Bible to life. And I'm for anything. I'm like Paul. Talked about some preach Christ for strife and some for envy. He said, nevertheless, Christ is preached. I'm for it. I'm not much on TV, but I'll tell you one thing. Instead of get the Word of God to you, I'm all for it. I'll tell you, buddy, we're living a day when, just like that boy pillowed his head that night and the ground opened up and swallowed him up, that's where you're at right now. I want you to know all the laughing ought to stop and people would stop thinking about eternity. The Muslim Brotherhood, they've been going into your White House. Won't be long, they'll be putting their flag in place of your flag. They don't have to sign in. Is that right? Only in America. They're coming into churches too, Brother Vernon. They sure are. The Bible talked about certain men crept in unawares. Enemies of the cross. But we don't want to offend no one. That's why they take all the crosses down in the Arlington Cemetery. Don't want to offend no one. What about offending me? What about offending Jesus? What's wrong? Why can't I be in the category of being offended? What's going on? It sounds like to me there's a one-sided tolerance. I was listening to a fellow preach on the way up here. He said that they're allowed to teach them how to pray five times the Muslim way. They got five pillars. They got to pray five times a day. And he said, well, if they're going to teach our kids in school to pray the five prayers of, of Muslim or whatever, I'm glad I don't know what it is, or Muhammad or whatever. He said, why can't we have the gospel in there too? You know what he said, Brother Vernon? I like what he said. He said, I'd like to see it like it was when them 850 withstood one man of God. He said, they'll find out, buddy, God will still come out on top if they put God back in there. He said, it wouldn't bother me too bad if they had that in there and still had the Word of God. He said, I promise you this, God will come out on top every time they took the ark in the temple of Dagon and it fell to the ground. Our God's mighty. He's not a lesser God. He's a greater God, Molly. He's not at a loss. He winks at the wisdom of this world, commands men everywhere to repent. Matter of fact, the Bible said the world by wisdom knew not God. It's a wonderful thing to know the Lord. The safest place I know is in the nail-scarred hand of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. This time of uncertainty, listen, I wasn't kidding. You're going to see, you call me doomsday, be all right, I don't mind it. You're going to see public beheadings not very far away. Going to be fearful sights. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Just trying to forewarn you. They can have this. This head ain't been much, but I've had it for 59 years. I gladly give it to one worthy as my Lord and Savior. If they want to peel this head, help yourself. I hope they can hit the mark. I hate for them to have to do it more once. But you're going to see it. I promise you that. You're going to see public beheadings. You know why? Because dictators rule by fear. That's how they get their position. And we're perfect. Man, we're asleep. Man, we're at ease in Zion. We're perfect. Perfect. Let the Muslim Brotherhood go in the wilds. Don't worry about whether Barack Obama's Muslim or not. Just sleep on. Sleep on. But I'll tell you one thing. You mark this. That day is coming. It's coming rapidly. It's coming faster. On my car out there, on the driver's side window, the rear, on the driver's side mirror, it says things in this mirror, maybe it's the passenger side, says they're closer than they appear. That's about where this is. It's closer than it appears. The Bible says, and the Lord brought this to my mind, I'm not smart enough. I can't come to Revelation. I'm not that smart. But I'll tell you this, as God calls me to ponder upon this message, He brought this to my mind in Matthew chapter number 12, verse 29. It says, how can one enter into a strong man's house?
Amen. Amen.
And spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man.
Amen.
And then he'll spoil his house.
Amen.
Ain't it amazing? Super nation, superpower. All nations looked at us for an example. They died trying to get here. If we can just get to America, God bless America. I believe Jeremiah Wright might have been right when he said what he said about America, because I believe it's coming, burning. We've left our first love. We're like Solomon. We've married many strange women. There's a price for that, by the way. But listen, the Lord said, how can one enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? And then he'll spoil his house. You remember a man named Samson? Woo! Boy, boy, Samson. He was so strong till he fell asleep in the lap of Delilah. Man, oh man, that's where we're at. We're asleep in the lap of Delilah. I cut my hair just a little bit this morning. Too cheap to go to a barber, I guess, but I trimmed on a little bit. It don't look too bad. But Samson got a real haircut. And when he got that haircut, he jumped up and said, I'll go out as other times. That's where we're going. We're headed there. We may have already arrived. I don't know. But he found out he was made weak because of a woman named Delilah. We're truly an adulterous generation. Man, oh man. We truly have been bound. They've got the professors. I've been to college. I've withstood some of them. They didn't like it. But I'll tell you what, the righteous are bold as a lion. I did tell them some things they said was wrong, proved it. But verse 30, Jesus said, he that's not with me is against me. Whose side are you on?
Amen.
If you're going to be a godly, God bless America, then be on the Lord's side. Quit straddling the fence. Quit leaving it up to question. You're on the Lord's side, you're on the right side. But I'll tell you what, Joshua come up to the captain of the Lord's host. He said, you're on our side or on our enemy? He said, neither. I'm on the Lord's side. That's the side I want to be on, Brother Vernon. I want to be on the Lord's side. Amen. Amen. But the Lord said, and I do want to gather. He said, he that's not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. He went on to say in verse 25, a house divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Why? Tell me why. We've got to be so divided. I don't understand. Why have we got to pass laws? The only thing President Clinton ever done right was DOMA. They took it to the Supreme Court now. It's out of here. We've got to make way for this sodomy stuff. That's how they work, Molly. They pass laws. The Bible said the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. See, they know how to do it. They know how it works. They know how to navigate. I just know one thing. It's going to be well, my soul. I just know one thing. I wish the Lord hurt. Come get me out of this mess because it's starting to stink. When a 12-year-old boy can't go to school safely. I'm glad this is going on the internet. The Lord said, a house divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And He went on to say, and it's brought to desolation. In Revelation chapter 18, verse 9, the Lord said, in 1 hour, she's made desolate, talking about Babylon, fallen, that great city. Now, I'm going to sum this up. I'm leaving a bunch out. It's all right. I work package pills at a pharmaceutical place called Vanguard. Most of the people I work with are temporaries. I'm only full-time in there. And they come and go. Man, I can't even remember their names. They come and go so fast. I don't blame them. They get a better job. I'm happy for them. Matter of fact, my favorite just left this week, Amy. And I terribly miss her. Boy, she knew more about the job than I did. I hate to say it, but it's true. She's very smart. Hard worker, best. I would love to have her working for me. She'd find her a better job. They brought a young lady in this week. Her name's Rebecca. And the first day, you know how it is, but before the honeymoon's over, I mean, it was pretty sweet in there. She was talking about going to church up there to Cave City up there to Caveland Baptist, Chad Hunt. And I said, that's my pastor's nephew, Sammy Hunt and Sheila Hunt's son. The next day, a little bit different. The next day, and here's how this stuff works. I'm going to pull back some veneer here just a little bit. And the Bible does say, though hand joined in hand, it will not go unpunished. But anyway, she started bonding with one of the girls in there, and they got a bonding, you know, about rock and roll music and bands and tattoos and piercings and all that stuff. And I mean, here I can't relate, so I'm just sitting there just being quiet. I mean, the Bible does say to be quiet, work with your hands. That's what us are doing. But it finally got to the point that I had to say one thing. And when I said that one thing, and all I said was, you know, you want to know the truth about it? That's all I said, Brother Vernon. You know what her answer was? Just like Pilate, what's truth? What's truth? Pilate looking truth right in the face had to ask, what's truth? Jesus said, thy word is truth. John 17:17, I believe. I told her, I said, I'll tell you exactly what truth is. The truth is the Word of God and God of the Word. The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie in Titus chapter 2 and also in Hebrews. And I said, it's impossible for God to lie. That's what truth is. And I could tell that she didn't really want to go no further in conversation. And sometimes I do let it ride. In this case, I didn't. You know what I told that young lady? I said, Rebecca, her little boy's having a birthday tomorrow. He'd be 1 year old. Mm-hmm. I said, Rebecca, when you're picking out that young boy's casket like me and my wife did at the funeral home, I said, then you'll be interested in knowing why truth is so important. I said, today, your life. Today, you put it aside. But I'll tell you how the world works. You want to know what goes on? They start bonding one with another. Start socializing. We'll smear them. We'll take care of this. You better get your hide like a rhinoceros if you're going to stand for the Word of God. Amen. You better. But they pretty much, you know, kind of put me the shame. I mean, here, I wasn't at a loss, but I mean, they kind of usurped authority over me to some degree in the conversation. So I sat over there and done my work, which I should have been doing anyway. I do try to speak a word every now and then, fitly spoken, seasoned with grace. I always try to. Man, I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. Not much of one, but I am one. But you know what? It got sour in there. And boy, she's mad now. How dare him speak against me? You go to Dr. Molly, and the doctor says, you're fine. Don't worry about a thing. And he knows you're going to die 2 days from that day. He's not your friend. You know, I want the doctor to tell me, Eddie, I'm sorry, I got some bad news. You're not going to live. You got about 2 or 3 days to live. I'd hug his neck, say, thank you, doctor. I can tell my family I love him and hug her neck. But a friend tells you the truth. If someone ain't a friend, they say, well, they'll figure it out. Yeah, Rebecca's young. And I saw in Rebecca what's going on with our young people. Their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. They can't receive truth. Too busy. I can't even do it. I asked Anthony this morning if he could show me how to do blogs. I don't even know what a blog is. Now this new charity could help me. She said, I don't know myself, Brother Eddie. She couldn't tell me how to blog neither. But I'd like to know how. People blog a website and I don't know how to answer. I don't know how to see what they say, good or bad. I don't know. It don't matter. And I tell you what, I wish I knew how to. I don't. Dumb in a box of rocks. But the world uses those things right there to silence any opposition against the way they're going. That sudden destruction, it don't change. It don't go away. It's just like a crouching lion. This week, a 24-year-old girl. I don't have a cell phone, so I'm just going to pretend. Hello, what you doing? I'm just sitting here blowing out of my head. And about that time, the call went dead. And when it came over to check, a lion had killed that 24-year-old girl. That's what lions do. Sudden destruction. I believe it'd been a good time for I to put the phone up, maybe just look around a little bit. They said somehow the cage door malfunctioned. I'll tell you what happened. It wasn't the cage door. It wasn't the lion. Asleep in a lion's cage. Unaware of the danger. Unaware of the fact that a lion is coming. Sudden destruction. It don't matter that you're 24. It don't matter that you're 94, like Nelson Mandela. The sooner he's gone, the better. You don't know the truth, so I won't share it with you. He's never been a friend to Africa. But sleep on. That's what Jesus told his disciples. He came, said, could you not pray with me an hour? He went back, prayed some more, Brother Vernon, come back and he's sleeping again. He said, sleep on. The hour's at hand. So I tell you this morning, as your pastor, as your friend, as a God-called saved man of God, sleep on. Sleep on. When the sudden destruction hits your home, call Brother Eddie. 270-646-7019. And I'll do my best to comfort you. I'll do my best to come to you. When I go to funerals, I always put John 14:18. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And I'm glad He does, William. He does come to us in the low places. That's why you only see one set of footprints, because He'll carry you through them valleys. But I'll tell you right now, the best I can, I'm trying to warn you right now, and how you think not, the Son of Man's coming, and how you think not, a lion's coming, and how you think not, death is coming, and you better be careful! When it comes to eternity, there's only one place to spend eternity. If you miss heaven, you missed it all. If you miss heaven, Jesus said, it'd been better for that man if he'd never been born. Sudden destruction. Going on right now. It's in the newspaper. It's in the making. Somebody is going to die. Gloom and doom, Brother Eddie. You tell me how else to tell somebody else about death, about damnation, about the devil, about a place called hell. Grand fairy tales don't do a good job. Got to use the Word of God. I'll tell you right now, there's somebody out there that wish they came. There's somebody out there who wish they could be here today. There's somebody in hell who says, God, give me one more chance. I repent. I receive Jesus. I live for you better than any preacher. And I don't doubt they would. I guess they would. They put me to shame. Because they know why. You need to escape that damnation of that place called hell. One thing about hell, Cesar Chavez, he's not asking questions about whether there's a God anymore. He's not asking questions anymore about whether there's a hell or not. He's not calling President Bush a devil no more. He knows who the devil is now. I never did ever. And I should have, but I never did ever forgive him of calling my president a devil. And God, He'll have to forgive me of that. I loved a president. I know he's just a politician. I'm not dumb. But I'll tell you one thing I saw that man do. I saw him pray for this country. I saw him do true leadership. And I certainly don't want to mess this up getting political. But one other thing I saw him do that I really commend him was he left his family on Thanksgiving Day, flew in unannounced, and served his soldiers in Iraq. I wish we had a leader like that. You help yourself to whatever turns you on. But I'll tell you one thing, he sure did fit the part of my Savior that came down, boy, and put himself at a loss to comfort us. If you're here this morning, please listen to me. An hour you think not, sudden destruction. Please don't leave today unprepared to meet God. I'm not going to tell Brother Melvin, but if he wants to sing Prepare to Meet God, I'll tell you right now, it'd be pretty good. There's people here this morning. You better be aware of the fact you could be called out to see God today. If you get called out, it better be right. You better be ready to meet Him. You better have your sin under the blood, your name in the book. You better be well with your soul. Because I'll tell you what, ready or not, we used to play hide and seek. I'm going to put my head on that pillow, I'd count to 100, and I'd say, ready or not, here I come. And the one that wasn't ready was the first one I called, Brother Vernon. That's the first one I called. Father, thank You for the message. And if I made a mess, Lord, I'm sorry. I've done the best I could. But I pray You, which is greater than all. Lord, I pray even right now, You'd prick the hearts. Open eyes with eyes saved. Unstop the ears. And Lord, I pray, dear Father, today, You'd get the reward of Your suffering. May that one nearest tale that's here this morning, that doesn't even realize today their soul is going to be required of them. May the fear of God and the pains of hell get a hold of them. Lord, I pray they'd come quickly, get it right before they leave this service. We'll ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody stand, please. Thank you for coming. I did preach long. I couldn't see no way. I did leave a lot out. I can't make no apology. Done the best I could.
I was on the other night where that lady, I don't know where it was at. But anyway, I don't know if she's riding the bus, train, or what. But she's been singing to get off the bus and she's singing gospel songs. Or train or whatever, that conductor or bus driver, somebody got on her. The mayor here is about, he apologizes to her. At least she gets back on the bus and she's singing her song.
Amen. That's good, Charlotte. That's good. Sure enough. I'd ask everybody stand, please. Think about what's been said this morning. Could old song used to be, maybe it's you, maybe it's me. Someone to be called out to face eternity. Maybe it is you. Maybe it's me. I'll tell you one thing. I've done asked the man to preach my funeral. I done told him. I said, Brother Rick, if you're still around, the Lord calls me home, I want you to preach my funeral. Have you set your house in order? Have you made preparation to meet the Lord? If not, you're to come this morning. Go ahead, Brother Melvin.
181. We don't have that, Brother.
That's all right. You can sing whatever you want to. It'll be all right.
181.
I thank the Lord for these that have already come. Others are to join them.
Just as
I am one plea. He shed his blood for you. Pilate said, what shall I do with this Jesus, which is called Christ? You'll do something with him. But I'll tell you one thing, you'll not have nothing to do with him. He'll either be your Savior or he'll be your judge. One day, you will stand, you will give an account, you will bow the knee, you will confess that he's Lord. You're to come this morning. You're to come and say, Lord, I should have done this. But if you'll have me, I want to give you my heart. I want to right now ask you to forgive me my sins. Ask you to save my soul. Go do it. It's a blessing. You ought to come. Keith's granddaughter back there holding her baby in her arms. That little baby needs a godly mother. Sure enough. That's what they need. Little babies need to be loved. If you don't have a godly mother, I promise you this. It'll be sad. The Bible said God's love. All God ever has to do is love one another. Somebody knows we need to do that. We can do anything but love one another. That's all God ever asks us to do. Must be a heart standing for one. We got too much pain inside. Lamb of God, are you coming? I beckon you come. Somebody have to do your funeral. Somebody have to give your family a thread of hope. Someone have to say, they said one day, Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me. Or somebody have to say, as far as I know, they're in there. No preacher wants to be there, do they, Martin? I like to give family comfort. I like to tell them, you know, they made a profession of faith. I like to tell them that I at least know that to come forward and ask the Lord to save them.
Just as I am
without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee. Come this morning on this beautiful Sunday morning when you walk out them doors right there, and just like I preached this morning, it could be a service. Oh, this is a beautiful sight right here. Young lady, get a young man by the hand, say, let's go. That's a beautiful sight. I wish there could be multiplied here today. I wish there was a flood of people coming up here. Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, to see, Lord, one concerned. I thank you, Father, to see one that cares. Lord, dear Father, bless Charity, bless Anthony, Lord. Lord, you're the greatest. Give her the greatest, Lord. Bless her, Lord. And I pray you bless, Father, your name here. Help us in this awkward time, Lord, when they're in a valley decision, when the devil's down their feet to the floor and they can't move them. I pray right now you loose them and let them go. Let them come. Let them come up here and freely drink of the water of life and freely get a refuge for their soul and find out, Lord, the blessing to be able to bear the name of Jesus and know it's well with the soul. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. I appreciate service this morning. All of me, all of you. God bless you, young lady. God bless you. Lord, bless my sister here this morning. What a precious sight, Lord, to see a godly mother holding, Lord, her blessing. Lord, bless her. This precious child. Bless some fathers on you. Keep them, Lord. I'm the shadow of your
eyes.
Keep them safe. Lord, supply their
needs.
And
I'll
meet you soon. Thank you, Father.
Lord, I cannot bear these
words. Lord, bless them. And get blessed through
in my distress, and He will help me.
Amen.
He ever
Oh, I see it on the
side.
The Bible said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Lord, be liberty this morning. If you need to come, by all means come. I'm telling you, for such an hour as this, you're here. God's here this morning in a mighty way. Tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus alone. Jesus alone. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sing. I can't sing it, brother. I'm just, for lack of a better word, just entertaining the melody. I appreciate everybody being here today. And maybe somebody's got a word on your heart. If you do, we certainly want to give place for that. Appreciate Anthony being here today. If I made you feel uncomfortable, I can't help that. I make a lot of people feel uncomfortable. But I appreciate them coming today. And maybe somebody's got a word in their heart. Certainly. Welcome, Matt. If you got something on your heart, we'll give place to that.
I praise my God.
Bless you, Carol.
I'm praising for the love.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He's there in a time of need.
That's right. That's him. Amen. Amen. That's right, Carol. That's right. Only safe place I know is in the arms of Jesus. You go ahead and build your fortress. You go ahead and build your fortune. I'll just take Jesus. And we'll see who fails. Farmer one time said, I balanced my books. He's an unsaved man. He said, I balanced my books, preacher. And he said, look how much my crops brought me this year. He said, what do you think about that? That preacher said, God don't balance his books in October, buddy. You might want to go away and be out there. Go ahead, Molly. I'm sorry.
I praise the Lord. I thank you for the blood this morning.
Heaven!
You know, I don't call the White House. I call it. It's the White House. I know we got to have that White House,
yeah.
But to me, it's a black house. And I think there's too
many it's scarlet.
There's too many people looking up on the White House.
True.
They should go above the White House where God lives.
That's right.
And I praise Him and I thank Him for saving my soul. And I love Him today.
Amen.
I'm looking for Him. I'm not looking for nobody else.
Amen.
I love Him today.
God bless you, Molly. God bless you. The Bible said not to put confidence in man. It's a snare. Put your confidence in the Lord. Appreciate your testimony. Maybe someone else. If not, thank you for coming. You've been a blessing. Wasn't expecting this many, but I appreciate you coming. Let's all stand, please. And let's see here. Brother Howard, would you please dismiss this word of prayer?
Thank you.